rest of you, please take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 18. John's Gospel, chapter 18. We've been worshiping the Lord this morning as our King. And obviously I'm not all over here this morning, but from where I was at, I sensed a real sweet spirit of praise. Special time of encounter with God this morning as we fixed our eyes on Him and worshiped Him for who He is. It's in the context of worship that our hearts are most open to Him, to hear from Him. And I trust that as you have taken time this morning to lift your thoughts, your attention, your focus to Him, that your heart is now ready to receive what He has for you from His Word. I want to begin this morning with a question of choice. After the meeting, in our annual meeting, we're going to be voting on a number of issues, and so this morning I'm going to get your vote on another issue. And you have to vote, okay? Here's two choices. Option number one, you can live in abject poverty in Garbage Village, processing rotting food and rubbish, but you can be completely independent and in charge of your own life. Or option number two, you can live in luxury with all the perks of accommodation, education, travel, investments for you and your family, but you will be a servant for life to a benevolent, rich businessman. How many of you would choose option number one? Okay. How many of you would choose number two? How many of you haven't made up your mind? Well, the question this morning is more than a tricky introduction to my message. The question is one that every one of us asks consciously or unconsciously, and it's an issue which all of us make decisions upon every day of our lives. Unfortunately, most people make the wrong choice. If you want to make the right choice this morning, you say, what's the right answer? Well, we'll look into the Lord's Word and see. Let's ask His blessing on our time together. Lord, as we look into Your Word this morning and examine this issue of You being the King, we ask, Lord, that Your Spirit would speak to us, that You would minister in ways that only You can, and that You would draw from us the response that Your heart is longing for this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you come from a country this morning that is governed by some form of democracy, then today's topic may bother you. You see, a democracy is where the will of the people guides the leadership. At least that's the way it's supposed to work. An autocracy, on the other hand, is where the will of one person guides and controls the group. In most places throughout history, autocrats led nations, and those leaders were called king. A king is an autocrat. A king is one who governs because he is the head. And in ancient times especially, a king did not have to report to a council or to a group of elected officials. He was in charge. His word was law. If you didn't like it, you either died or you left his kingdom. Simple as that. Interestingly, when it comes to Jesus' form of leadership, nowhere in Scripture is he called a Democrat or a Republican. The only title we see with regards to the leadership style of Jesus or the leadership pattern is he is called a king. And that's the title we're going to look at today. In Mark 15:2, Pilate calls Jesus the King of the Jews. In John 1:49, Nathanael recognized him to be King of Israel. Zechariah prophesied him to be king over the whole earth. Psalm 24:10, David described him as the King of Glory. In Revelation 17:4, John understood him as the King of Kings And in 15:3, he described him as the king of the ages. King. Now today we're going to go to John chapter 18 and use this story of Pilate's encounter with Jesus as the springboard into this study of Jesus' title, King. So go with me to John 18. As we read this passage this morning, verses 33 to 40, I want you to look with me and see how it folds very quickly into three areas. We're going to see the questioning, the clarification, and the call. Look for those, because that's what we're going to study this morning. The questioning, the clarification, and the call. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "It was your people and your chief priests who handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jews. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You are right in saying that I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of truth listens to me." "Ha, what is truth?" Pilate said, or asked. And with this he went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him, but it is your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" And they shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. The questioning. When Pilate asked Jesus for his credentials, it was more than just an academic question or a religious interrogation. Pilate knew full well that the Jews had been looking for centuries for a promised Messiah, someone who would be their political savior, freeing them from the shackles of foreign oppression and domination. And he knew that such a person would be a threat to his personal sovereignty. And so when he looked at Jesus and asked, "Are you the king of Jews?" he knew full well that if Jesus said yes, it had major implications for him. You see, who really is Jesus is a very dangerous question. The ramifications of the answer are major for you and for me and for everyone in the world. And that's the reason why most people don't even want to ask the question. You see, sometimes it's easier to remain in ignorance than it is to have to deal with truth and the ramifications of truth once we discover it. And a lot of people choose, quite frankly, to remain in ignorance, especially when it comes to the issue of who is Jesus. It reminds me of years ago I heard about a guy who was a chain smoker, and the more he read on the subject, the more it was confirming that cancer and smoking were directly linked. And it was really starting to bother him. And then one day he read an article that absolutely conclusively pointed out that cancer is produced by smoking nicotine. And so he finally decided to do something about it. He quit reading. You know, some people question Jesus for different reasons. And that is why Jesus turned the question back on Pilate. He said to him, "You ask me if I'm the king of the Jews? Is that your own idea, Pilate? Or did somebody else tell you about me?" In other words, Pilate, why do you want to know? Why are you asking me this question? You see, some of you may be like Pilate this morning, looking for information on Jesus. You want to make sure that his life, whoever he is not going to interfere with yours. Some of you are like Doubting Thomas. You'd like to get some information on Jesus because you want to understand him, to classify him, to figure him out, to determine whether or not he's a fraud or the genuine item. Press on. Press on, because as you seek him with a sincere heart, God will make him known to you. Others of you are here this morning like Moses on Mount Sinai. He wanted to discover who God was, not just with his head, but with his heart. And on the mountain he said, "God, show me your glory. Show me your glory." God did. And Moses was never the same. One glimpse of the glorious majesty of Jesus, and his life was transformed forever. Who is Jesus? Who really is he? Is he a king? What kind of a king? What does that mean? Those are good questions. Whatever question prompts you this morning to come and investigate Jesus, notice with me the clarification. Verse 36, Jesus in essence says, yes, I'm a king, but my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is from another place. You can almost hear Pilate breathe this deep sigh of relief. Oh! You see, he had all the information he wanted. Another place? Another world? Great! Fine with me! He didn't have to worry about someone muscling in his physical territory, and so Pilate thought he was safe. But please know, Jesus did not say his kingdom was not in this world. He simply said it was not of this world. It is in. It is here. It's just not of this world. Neither did he say that his kingdom was not at that particular place at that particular point in time. He simply said it is from another place. The kingdom of Jesus. You see, the boundaries of any kingdom are where the king's authority begins and ends. The king of Jordan, for example, has absolutely no authority in Canada. He could walk up into the street if he went there to somebody on the streets of Toronto and say, tie my shoes, I'm the king of Jordan. Now, Canadians are pretty nice people, I think, but they'd probably say, so what? You see, he has no jurisdiction in Canada. He's outside the boundaries of his kingdom, and so his authority does not extend there. You may say, well, where are the boundaries of Jesus' kingdom? Precisely where he starts and stops being in charge. Jesus' kingdom is wherever he rules. Wherever he rules. Now look at where Jesus drew the borders. Verse 37, he says, you are right in saying I am a king. In fact, for this reason I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of what? Of truth listens to me. There's a border. In Romans 14:7, we read, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. There's some more borders. In Matthew 18:3-4, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this little child is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. There's another border. You see, when describing the boundaries of his kingdom, Jesus does not talk politics. He does not talk military might. He does not talk economics. He does not draw a line on a map. Jesus' kingdom boundaries are truth, righteousness, peace, joy, and humility. These are aspects of his nature. In other words, Jesus' kingdom is where Jesus the King is. You get that? Wherever he is and his nature is manifested to impact those around him, that's where his kingdom is. The Gospels are filled with stories and parables that Jesus told explaining the uniqueness of his kingdom. And if you take all of those parables, all the teachings on the kingdom of God, and boil them down to their essence, this is what you find. Whenever and wherever a human being submits to Jesus' authority in their lives and chooses to live within the boundaries of his nature and control, that person is in his kingdom. Any person who chooses to live outside the boundaries of his nature and refuses to submit to his authority is not in his kingdom. That's the essence of what Jesus was teaching about the boundaries of his kingdom. Who's in, who's out. Which really brings us to the call. You see, when Jesus explained the kingdom to Pilate, he was inviting him to cross the line from falsehood into truth. He was inviting him to cross the line from darkness into light, from sickness into wholeness, from dying into living, from death into life. He was inviting him to change kingdoms. He was issuing a call to surrender, a call to cross the line. But that was too much for Pilate. He had too much at stake. He wanted control. And so he dismissed the entire issue with a question. What is truth? Sounds like a pretty good question, doesn't it? Sounds almost sincere, almost religious, almost righteous. But for Pilate, it was only a smokescreen. Because as soon as he asked the question, he walked away. Pilate didn't want to know the answer. He simply wanted to justify his rebellion against the king in whose presence he stood. I've met lots of people in my life with questions about Jesus. Many of them really, really good questions. But I've always discovered that the bottom line is the same. Most people in this world do not want Jesus to rule over them. Some of you are going to disagree with me. I challenge you, if you disagree, to go on the street and ask people, do you want Jesus to rule over you? And see what answer you get. Most people in the world do not want Jesus to rule over him, to rule over them. A number of times I've asked people when they've been throwing different questions at me about Jesus, who he is, what he did, about the reliability of the scriptures, and whatever the question is. Sometimes I've said, excuse me, can I just cut to the quick here? I want to know something. And I've said to a few people, if I could prove to you, absolutely sure, without question, remove all doubt from your mind, if I could prove to you that Jesus Christ really is God in flesh, if I could prove to you unquestionably that he came and died for your sin and has made the only way back to the Father, if I could show that to you and remove every possible doubt from your mind, if you knew that, would you submit your life to him as absolute Lord and Savior? Would you submit your life and let him be King of Kings in your life? And almost every time I pose the question, people say, no, I don't think so. Do we try and tie it up with head games? The issue's down here. Who's really in charge? Who's really calling the shots? When Pilate asked the Jews if they wanted the King of Jews to be released to them, they shouted, no, not him. Even Barabbas, the convicted insurrectionist, is better than Jesus. Give us anybody, but don't let Jesus rule over us. Back in Canada, where I pastored for 13 years, we had vagabonds come to the church quite regularly looking for handouts. And I remember a particular guy one time came, and I met him. He came to a morning service, actually. Usually they come during the week, but this guy came to a service and hung around the church after a while, sitting on the step, and so I stopped and I talked to him, and had a really interesting story. I took him out for a meal and ended up building a friendship, I took him out a couple times. I took him out for meals and helped him a few times. Anyway, he kept coming back, and I got to know more and more of his story. He had been in and out of prison for 15 years. He was an alcoholic, a drug addict. He'd been married and divorced 2 times, and he was living in a body that was literally crumbling from disease. This guy was a mess. And I got to the place where I shared with him the gospel. I shared with him how Christ came to deliver him from his past and set him free and give him a brand new life. We talked about that, and I explained how the only way that that happens is when we yield control of our lives to Jesus. And that's when he lit up. He says, no way. Don't talk to me about that. He says, there is no way I'm letting him rule my life. No way. And I probed a bit further, and he said, there's no way I'm letting him rule my life. I'm in charge, and I'm not letting anybody, including Jesus, rule my life. Who knows what he's going to do with my life? And I'm not usually this blunt, but I looked at the guy and I said, I can guarantee you this. He'll do a better job than you have. How many of us are in one way or another like my friend, the vagabond? We've messed up, maybe not as bad as he did or as noticeable as he did, but we've got areas in our life that just won't come together. But let Jesus rule, Are you kidding? There's no way I'm letting him have control of my life. Who knows what he'll do with me? We will not have him rule over us. When a king comes to the issue of Jesus' kingship, the issue for us, dear friends, is always the same. It's not, is he the king of some far-off never-never land? The issue is he king here and now? Will I let him rule my life? Will I give him control? Will I let him take the steering wheel of my life and direct me where he wants me to go? Will I let him call the shots? You know, most people I talk to, regardless of their religious background, when the subject of heaven or eternal life comes up, and I say, do you want to go to heaven when you die? Do you want to spend eternity with God? Absolutely. Everybody wants to. Well, not everybody. But most people want to go to heaven when they die. Sometimes I've been so bold with people, I say, why do you want to go there? Don't you know that that's where God's in charge? Don't you know that's where God rules? Don't you know that's where he calls the shots? Absolutely. You want to go there? Why? You don't want him here to rule here now in your life? Why do you think it'll be any different up there? Heaven is heaven, and the glories of heaven are heaven, and the splendor and the majesty and the no pain and the all the joy that comes from heaven is heaven because God rules. Because he's in charge. Because he will not let sin invade the territory. People say, I know, they say, this life on earth is hell on earth. Well, it may be. That's a foretaste of hell on earth. It doesn't deal away with the real thing. I know other people who say, this is a touch of heaven on earth. And you know what the difference is? Who's in charge? When I've submitted my life to the lordship and kingship of Jesus Christ, and he rules me with his kingdom of righteousness, peace, joy, truth, humility. When his kingdom has enveloped me because of my submission to him, I have a touch of heaven on earth. That doesn't mean the real thing isn't still coming, but I got a foretaste now. But for those who refuse his kingship now, yes, they have a foretaste of hell. A foretaste of being excluded from his very presence, excluded from his leadership. Dear friends, today Jesus issues a call. It's a clear call. It's not muddled, it's not fuzzy, it's not hazy. As the King of glory, as the King of kings, as the King of heaven and earth, as the King of the universe, he invites you and me to come to him and submit our lives to him and enter his kingdom. Some of you may be coming for the first time. You've never yet submitted your life to Jesus. But this morning he's inviting you to be part of his kingdom. Some of you, if you get real honest with yourselves, you may have considered yourselves part of the kingdom. You may have said or prayed something in the past about letting him take control. But when it comes right down to it, you've invited him in, but he doesn't have control. You invited him in the front door and sat him down in the guest room and locked all the private chambers of your house. You don't want him in that room because he might see this. You don't want him in there because he might put his fingers in the books. You don't want him back there. He might dig up something from your past. You don't want him looking through the picture album. He may discover something and ask you to do something about it. And so we leave him in the guest room. We sing him songs once a week. We take him food and be polite. He's come in as our guest, but we don't know him as a king. Friends, this morning Jesus is calling you and me to allow him to be who he is. He's a king. Will you yield to him? Not one or two or three areas. Will you yield to him every area of your life? Is he king of your relationships this morning? Is he king of your body? Is he king of your mind, your thought life? Is he king of your finances? Is he king of your time? Is he king of your talents? You can choose if you want to stay managing your life in the garbage heap. That's your choice. But I want to go on record as saying I have chosen to submit my life to the King of Kings. I know I will never be in charge again. But I want to tell you, when I made that decision, that's when I learned how to live. When Jesus Christ returns, he's coming back as King. He came the first time, and the reason many people missed him was because he came as our suffering servant to purchase our salvation. The Jews set him aside because they wanted a political king at that moment. But the Bible says the first time he came to procure our salvation. He's allowed us this intervening time to come to know him and serve him and respond to him willingly, by choice, submit to his kingdom. But when he returns, the Bible says, the time of choosing will be over, and he will be king over the whole earth. The Bible says that every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. When Jesus Christ comes in his kingdom, in his glory, will he know you as one of his own? Will he know you as one who has willingly, indeed joyfully said, "Yes, Lord, take control of my life"? As you ponder that, remember the fact of his kingship is undisputable. The force of his kingship is unstoppable. And the future of his kingship is unavoidable. Because Jesus Christ is King. Please join me in prayer. Lord, we admit to you this morning that our political orientations have a major influence on the way we think about our relationship with you. We are so democratically oriented in the 20th century that the idea of somebody having complete control over us is almost scary. And we imagine that you would lead like we would lead, or like any other political human leader would lead, and that rightfully scares us, because they've all got so many holes in their lives and so many wrong things with them and so many hidden agendas. Lord, this morning I ask you to open our eyes and help you see us for who you are. Help us realize that the reason you demand and request and require the control room of our life is not to bring us down, but to bring us up. Help us realize that the reason you want to be king is not to do away with us, not to overtax us, not to keep us under your thumb, but to bring us up into relationship with you so we can serve with you, so we can enjoy the benefits of your nature, of your kingdom. God, help us realize that it is for love that you beckon us to come and be your servants. So Lord, I pray for each one this morning here that you would quicken our heart to respond to you, and to with our whole heart and our whole life and our whole mind and our whole soul and our whole body come and declare you to be our King. Assist us as we attempt to do that this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.